Item number two.
This is a subdivision and rezoning application for 15 Chester Street under file DASZ10 of 2008. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time, which is item three, being an application for a variance to allow substandard lot widths and areas, as well as substandard east and west side yards on some of the lots, 415 Chester Street, under file DAV 110655 of 2008D.
We're dealing with item two and item three at the same time. And we have registered before us today. Again, I remind everyone to please register if you haven't done so already, if you wish to speak or register one way or the other. I have the applicant registered here. I'm not too sure if the applicant who would be speaking, I have a number of in support. I have Gerald Peters, Sandy Hopkins, Michelle Nyhoff. Are you all in? Okay, so be yourself, Mr. Hopkins?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Please come forward. And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Good. Thank you. Sandy Hopkins, Chief Executive Officer with Habitat for Humanity Winnipeg, and our offices are at 60 Archibald Street. First, let me mention that we have some senior Habitat staff with me and some of our professional advisors as well who have been helping us with this project should there be any technical questions that, that arise. But I'd like to just take a moment first and just very briefly describe Habitat for Humanity in Winnipeg. We have been operating for 20 years and building homes consistently for 20 years. During that period of time, we have helped 151 families into affordable homes. All of our families are low-income working families. There's a number of criteria that must be met for them to qualify. We have a very sophisticated family selection process, and our families all share a number of common characteristics, but primarily strong values and a commitment to the communities in which they work and reside. We built eight homes last year in Winnipeg. We're planning 11 this year. Five of them are actually in the ground already, and construction is underway. One of those is on Elgin Street downtown, quite near City Hall. Four of them are on Adsum in the Maples, and the remaining six will have the foundations dug before the end of this month on Minto Street in the West End. I think it's important for people to understand that we do not give houses away. Our families pay for them in exactly the same way that all of us pay for our homes. The only difference is that the terms that we provide to these families are favorable. There is no down payment. There's no interest on the mortgage, and the payments are geared to family income rather than the value of the property, thus allowing the family to enjoy the benefits of home ownership, but maintaining a reasonable cash flow in the home for the other necessities of life. This Sir Sam Steele site is by far the most ambitious project that Habitat in Winnipeg has undertaken. We were fortunate to be able to purchase the property after essentially a bidding process with the Winnipeg School Division. And our intention with that property, should our proposal be granted, is to build 15 single-family homes on the McCalman site. I'll point out that the report on the property mentions that it's 25 single-family homes. In fact, it's 15 single-family homes on the McCalman side, and 10 side-by-side units on the Naren side. We will take great care in the way that we construct these homes, as we have with all of the homes we build. Everything we build is at least Power Smart Gold standard, which means they're highly energy efficient and have a very small environmental footprint. And that also serves to reduce the operating costs for the families once they're in those houses. We are, in fact, are undertaking the possibility of having this site built to LEED standards, and so we will prepare the site when we're bringing services in for it as if it was a LEED site. And then that, if you're familiar with that program, leadership in energy and environmental design is something considerably more than an energy-efficient home, and really takes into account the full impact of a home on the environment. We on the property as well is a school. It was initially built in 1921 and had some additions to it in 1957. The school, of course, doesn't work for us and the work that we do, but we have spent the last 6 months working with one of the large and well-known daycare providers in the community in an attempt to create what would likely be the largest daycare early childhood education center in the province at 17,000 square feet. But unfortunately, recently, the financing for that, which was largely coming from the province, has collapsed. And so we are now in negotiation with a group that would like to convert that school to a facility that would provide training for newly arrived immigrants, and we see that as a good use for the school and a good service in the community. We do have some boards that we'll let you have a look at here with what the what we see as how the house would be built. We want to be very sensitive to fitting into the community, and that's why we've suggested single family homes on the McCalman side and side-by-side units on Narin. And we will have a number of different home styles and elevations. And the single family homes, there will be bungalows, two stories, and split level. And there will be several different elevations in each of those types of homes. And similarly, on the side-by-side units, we will be operating with different elevations. This drawing doesn't express that as well as perhaps we will actually end up building them, but we do have a fairly deep portfolio of build designs, and we will be utilizing those. We did send a detailed letter out to 250 homes in the area immediately surrounding the school so that everyone would be aware of what we're trying to accomplish. And we also went and knocked on all of the doors on McCalman, which are the houses that would be most immediately impacted by this proposed build site. We knocked on 36 doors. We got to speak to 20 of the homeowners. 16 of them were not available. Of the 20 we spoke with, two were opposed to the project. Most of the others were either highly in favor of it or at least in favor. A couple did say they were not opposed, but generally we got a very positive reception for what we were trying to do, and that was particularly true for some of the people who were living immediately across the street from the schoolyard, and I think a couple of those people are here tonight to speak to that. So we believe that, just staying with the homes for a moment, we have a warranty program for all of our homes. They are extremely well built. And we have talked to a number of people in the real estate community, and there is a complete agreement from those we've spoken to that with these houses built in that area, there will be a significant increase in property values for all of the homes that are already there. We have a reputable, experienced engineering firm and architectural firms that are assisting us with this project. We have fully experienced professional construction people on staff, and we have a number of very experienced builders who volunteer to lead the teams that actually construct the houses. And we do use professional trades extensively in the building of these houses for the foundation work, as well as plumbing, heating, electrical, cabinet installation, and drywall taping. So just to emphasize that the homes are extremely well built and will be very energy efficient and environmentally friendly, and we think will be a great addition to the area, to the neighborhood, and will provide excellent housing for 35 hardworking families.
Okay. Thank you very much. Councillor Thomas, I think, has some
yes.
questions.
Yeah, these questions are not because I'm unfamiliar, because as you know, Sandy, I've participated in at least seven, I'm not sure at this point how many builds I've actually participated in. Now, I participated in this Jimmy Carter build. That was how I first got involved. And then there was a small development in the St. Boniface area. And then four individual units that we did, two in Elmwood 1 year, and then 2 years later, another one in Elmwood, and then two in East Kildonan that were done at the same time. And I believe those were all women built. And some in the Daniel McIntyre
right.
Area, and then I believe there was also one in the North End. Now, I don't think I've participated in all of them. There are some builds that have happened, but you try to do one every year, right?
We have built homes every year since 1988. We were incorporated right. in 1987 and built every year since 88. The number of builds fluctuates according to several variables, but money and land availability are the two main variables.
Sometimes you've done a street, and sometimes it's been like when we did the home on Chester and the other one on Larson. There was a piece of property, and then there was one where there was two pieces of property right beside each other.
And that was very much our build pattern in 2007. We built on 8 infill lots in 4 different parts of the city last year. So that's where we happened to be able to purchase land. And then when this opportunity came up for Sam Steele, we bought it. In the course of looking at this property, we also found the bid on the property on Minto, which is where the Thistle Kern Club used to reside. And then we purchased a vacant piece of land up in the Maples. And so we're concentrating the builds a little more this year than we did in 2007. 11 builds on 3 sites rather than 8 builds on 6 sites. And then we would like to start building in 2009 on Sam's Field.
And these are all homes that will be occupied by the owners and who will be paying a mortgage. And one of the reasons you're able to keep the cost down so low is there's a lot of volunteer labor, people like me who have some minimal building experience, but also some people with a lot of experience in the electrical and plumbing trades who basically supervise and do a lot of on hand.
That's well stated. I'm told in the good old days we used to get free land as well, and the costs were even lower.
Yeah.
But with today's real estate market, that period is behind us. And so we find ourselves now essentially bidding for land against other developers. And thus we were pleased when we were successful with this property and would very much like to be able to build on it. For
the nature of my questions are to basically assure anybody who might be concerned about it that it's all high quality, well supervised, and that the people themselves are making a strong commitment to the community by their own sweat equity as well as assuming a mortgage.
They are. In fact, what we have found with scores of our families in Winnipeg, all of whom have come to their homes, their Habitat homes, from low-income rental properties, is that they have discovered a real stability when they move into those homes. One of the unfortunate and overriding characteristics of living in low-income rental properties is that people move frequently in order to try to improve the quality of life for the families. The neighborhoods aren't good, or the neighbors aren't good. There's a number of different types of difficulties they experience, so they move regularly. And the impact of that, of course, is that children are put into one school and pulled out, put another school and pulled out. And that has a significant detrimental impact on the quality of their education and indeed on their social skills. And we've seen with our families time and again that once they get into a house, they sink their roots into the neighborhood. They become active in the community itself. They get active in the school programs. And the kids are able to work their way through
the school. And the community clubs.
And the community clubs, absolutely. And then when time comes for post-secondary education, the family has now been a bit of an asset base to help them with that. One of the great pleasures I've had in the less than 2 years I've been with Habitat is to meet some young professionals who are launching their careers, children from some of the early Habitat families. And while we certainly take no credit whatsoever for the hard work of those individuals, the sacrifices of families, we like to think that we helped to pave the path that they've walked on.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you. We'll be calling you back up, Mr. Hopkins, after we've heard from the other delegations. Thank you. Joe and Estelle Melnick. Joe and Estelle Melnick. Mr., would you like to speak or just be registered in support? 869 McCalman.
I'm full support. I talked to Sandy and...
If you would like to speak, you need to come to the microphone, sir. Just everything is recorded here,
And again, ask everybody to keep their comments, as the clerk mentioned, 10 minutes or less. And there might be questions after. But go ahead, Mr. Melnick. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm in full support of this project. It looks like it's the best available use of the land. And I live right across the street from the school, so it affects me quite a bit. When the school was being on the market to be sold, I was quite concerned that it would be an industrial development, and I didn't want any of that. And we kind of looked at what Sandy produced to me the other night and showed me the homes, and I just can't see any reason why not have this project go ahead. So I'm in full support of it.
Okay, Mr. Mullen, thank you. Are there any questions?
Yeah, so were you aware of the fact that one of the proposals that went in there was to turn the whole thing into commercial property, including a 24-hour donut shop and stuff like that, that was one of the ones that the school board had rejected?
That's what I was mostly concerned about. Yeah. It is a residential neighborhood, and the school was part of the residential neighborhood, including, in fact, all these kids went to the school, and then it got shut down, and I was definitely didn't want to see no more commercial. There's enough commercial on the other side of Mayor Milne. We didn't want any more on this side for sure. And I think it fits the neighborhood really well. I guess some people have concerns about low-income families, but we've all been low-income families one time or another, and we all work to get to where we are. So I can't see my opposition to this. I think it's the best available use of the land, and that's my comment on it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Melnick.
Thank you.
Gerald Peters, registered in support. So you just wish to be registered in support? Okay. Thank you. Michelle Nyhoff, registered in support. Registered in support. Thank you. Adam Levine. Registered in support? Okay. Nothing to say, just registered in support. Thank you. I'm trying to read the... Rabil Ashan? I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. You're registered in support? Okay, nothing to add, but just registered in support. Okay, thank you. We have anybody else registered in support that I have not read their name that has not had a slip? Anybody else registered in support? Seeing none, I'm going to move on to those registered in opposition. Registered in opposition, Dale Barone. Registered in opposition. Do you wish to speak, Mr. Barone, or just registered in opposition? Okay, please come forward. Again, please, if you could state your name and address for the record, Ms. Barone.
Barron,
sorry, thanks.
It's a Barron.
Okay. If you can keep your comments, I'm going to encourage everybody to keep their comments to 10 minutes, as I did with the other side, and or less. If anybody hears comments that are similar, please bring new information if you can. If you've heard similar comments, you don't necessarily have to speak. You can just register one way or the other. And there may be questions afterwards.
Sure, so, no problem.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Barron.
Okay, I'm not as... I live at 930 McCallman. I live at the very end of the school field. There's a small back lane. It's not that we're in opposition of Habitat for Humanity putting up homes there. What we're more, myself, objecting to is the number of homes being stuffed into those lots. You're putting 35 families into a small school field. I'm going to say an average of one, maybe two kids per family. That means you're going to go from an area that's not a large amount of kids to probably 65 kids in that area. I mean, that's an enormous amount of children to be put into one area with no place to play. These are all 33-foot lots that they're proposing for, which is going to mean that they're going to put a car, maybe two in the back. There's no yards. Where are the kids going to play? A small field at the other end? Okay, great. You're going to put 35 kids into a small field at the other end. They're going to play either... They can't play on Nairn. So where are they going to play? That's just one thing I'm bringing up. Parking. I have parking in the back. I don't use it. The streets are going to be filled with cars. That means kids running out from between cars. Kids play anywhere around. That traffic level on that street is going to go from maybe 5-6 cars an hour to whatever. It's going to go gigantic. These gentlemen here, which are, and don't get me wrong, I think they do a wonderful thing, but this is their most ambitious, so they're projecting that there's no problems. My child, when I lived up in, I grew up in Elmwood. I've been there all my life. I went to Elmwood High. I put two children through Elmwood High. Gangs. Now, I've done everything I could to keep my kids out of gangs. And I was talking to the lady. She said they've never had a problem. Well, no, if you're putting one house here, one house there, three houses there, now you're going to be sending 65 children to Elmwood High, and you're going to tell me that there's not going to be a problem with gangs? Put a pretty girl in there at the age of 18. You'll have enough guys around there choke a horse. Go over on Talbot Avenue. We've just put in some boutique at the corner of Cameron. It's basically, I'm going to just say, it's basically a low-rider boutique. There's nothing but kids with, you know, gang colors. I know the colors. I asked my son. They hang around that. Now you bring a bunch of kids more over into this area, they're going to come that way. They keep talking about the effect to the environment. You probably have no effect to the environment. What about the environment of the neighborhood? Like I said, we have jogging clubs. Our neighborhood is so quiet and peaceful that we have the running club use our street as the place that they jog on. That's because it's a good neighborhood. And it's because of our neighbors and everybody else that keeps it that way. Like I'm trying to say, I have no objection to them building the houses there. But why do they have to cram 35 houses into that small lot? This is their most ambitious, like they say. They've built three times in Elmwood. I mean, I understand that the property and stuff like that. But again, like I'm trying to say, I'm a little nervous, so you've got to understand. First time I've ever done this. Noise. I mean, now you're going to be creating a lot more noise in the area, and it's like I said, the impact of the environment. I'm just checking my notes here so I don't miss anything.
Yeah, take your time.
One question I do have is how long before somebody owns these houses before they can sell them? Can they sell them in 2 years? Can they sell them in 5 years? Can they sell them in 10 years? So then after they've, say, put their sweat equity in, what controls them from who they sell the houses to? So you go on to the, I don't see so much on the McCallman side, but I see on the Nairn side. Double family, small houses. You know, there'll be possibly the what type of people. And we're not fighting the low-income people, because we're all low-income in that area. I mean, if we were big income, we wouldn't be living in that area. We're looking at how we're going to be living there, you know, what the area, it's the shape of the area, what the area is like right now. But we've been there for 35 years. Some of us 30 lived there all their lives. You know, we like our area. And basically, that's what I've got to say. Like I said, I'm not objecting them building. I'm injecting the number of houses that they are building. If they went to 11-11, which is basically the lot sizes around, okay. But with them wanting to push 35 families in there, that is going to create a crowded situation.
All right, Mayor. Okay. Mr. Barron, thank you. Don't go. There might be some questions. Any questions at this point?
No, I've written down his questions. And
okay.
So,
any questions, Councilor Maloney? No. What are the lot size? What is your lot?
I think mine's 45.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much, Mr. Barron.
Thank you. Thank you.
Miss Dolly Gashnia.
Over here, but I agree with Mr. Barron.
You want to be recorded in opposition? Okay. Thank you very much, Dolly. 973 Beach Avenue. EHR Pauline, 37 Kent.
I agree with this, and I'm opposing.
Okay, registered also in opposition. Okay. Kathy McGinnis.
That's me.
Okay, do you wish to speak, Kathy?
I have a couple other comments.
Okay, please come forward.
More questions, if anything.
Sure.
I'm at 843 McCallman.
Okay.
And I'm really concerned about the parking, for the lots, and the other thing that, and for their visitors. It's not just, okay, they got one parking spot, but then what if it's Christmas? I mean, there's going to be, there's no parking on Narron, and there's parking on one side of McCallman. So the parking would be a major concern. As for now, we're almost fighting with our neighbors to squeeze in. So if there's a lot more houses, it's going to be a lot more congested. Another thing is, I was wondering how much space, it looks very pretty there, is between the houses, because, you know, that's not a big lot. And my other concern is that park is used. It's one of the few parks in Elmwood that is used. And there's soccer in the summer. There's always something. You can drive down there and you can see some kids or some people in it. You go to almost any other park and in Elmwood, and it's not used. But that one is. And it's going to be a shame to see that one go. There's so little green space in Elmwood, and it's a shame to see any of it go. Let me see. Oh, and are all the duplexes going to be one color? Because that looks rather dark.
Those are questions, and quite often the applicant has the option to come back again, being the applicant, and hopefully they've made a note of your questions, and we'll be able to respond at that time.
Thank you.
Because we would like to know the answers too. So, are there any questions at this time, counselors?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've noted where will they play, because that's certainly in the parking, and you've both brought that up, but. I respect what you say about people using the school division property as green space. Mm-hmm. And the city had been managing that space and managing soccer pitches and stuff like that for the school division, but the school division decided that they wanted to get rid of that property. It's not city property. It's not a city park.
It's not a city park?
No, it's not a city park. It's Winnipeg School Division property. It was a closed school. Oh. And while the city was for the school division was facilitating soccer games and stuff like that on that, and because it was basically free space while the University of Manitoba had a social work program in there. Yes. for many years, but it's never been a park. It's been
okay.
School division.
I thought it was
school division playgrounds.
Because it says PR2 parks.
Well, it's zoned PR because that's what the schools are zoned.
Who looks after it then?
The school division. It's school division property.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Parks and Rec didn't maintain it.
You know, there was a time when we have contracts with. With Winnipeg School Division 1 and with River East Transcona, but I think they had a problem with us using spray for the dandelion, so they took over it themselves because they didn't want the spray on the fields or something like that. So, so no, I don't think we've managed that for some time.
Okay.
But we have managed the... booking agency, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
Okay.
So no, this is as much, much
not any place
me
else.
Answering your questions as it is me asking questions of, yeah. of you. That, but if that helps.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good.
Thank you, Kathy. Any other questions? Thank you very much, Kathy.
Thank you.
Nellie Marchensky. If you could state your name and address again, Ms. Marchensky.
My name is Nellie Marchensky. I live at 947 McCallman.
Thank you.
And I've lived there for 40 years. I lost my husband when I was very young, and I raised two kids in that area. And that was an old home, and I worked to fix that home up. And these people can come in and build homes for these people. Why is it fair? I had to do it on my own, and these people are going to get a home like that, brand new, fixed up, crammed in an area where we worked so hard to look after our community. We worked in that community. We worked in the community clubs and everything to keep those kids safe. And now they use that park. They use runners down our street. We love it. It's great. It's an environment that we had a little bit of green space. You people fight for trees in your area. We just want a little bit of green grass. There is another facility on Herbert. What is that park used for? That strip behind McCallman. There's nobody ever uses that. For 40 years, those kids haven't played in there. They put trees in there. It's so dark in there. There's no little kids can play in there. Why isn't that used for these kind of homes? But we get crammed with 35 homes in a small area like that. There's only a half a block.
That's a city park and it's parkland.
So there is a park on Herbert.
Yeah.
Before we get in, Councillor, could I just let the delegation finish their presentation, yeah. then
sure.
if you have questions. Sorry about Ms. Marchensky, did you wish to continue?
And I feel that that is the type of places that should be built for these kind of homes. It is facing a back lane, and it's facing the back of people's houses. Now, why would you have little kids playing in a dungy area like that? So I feel that there are other places they can build a lot of these places. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure anybody that lives in a rich area, like you people might, and we live in a cheaper area, we like to keep it clean. We sure as hell don't want to have Stella Avenue or Flora Avenue or any of those in our area. And it's coming down to it, because you're slowly killing our community clubs. You want to kill Chalmers. You killed the other one on Henderson Highway. And now eventually East Elmwood's going to go. There won't be anything for us. So I want to bring that to your attention.
Okay, Mrs. Marchensky, thank you. Are there any questions, Mrs. Marchensky?
Yeah, just to...
Sure.
The other place that you're talking about, the smaller
right.
park, that is parkland and that is city park, and we don't normally... I shouldn't say that now. Anyways, we don't normally turn parkland into city property into something once it's been designated parkland.
We'll gladly trade. Give us that and take that. I mean, that is narrow lots. You can put as many houses as you want on there.
But this isn't our property. That's the problem. This isn't our property.
Yeah, but as soon as the schools are for sale, the churches are for sale, the schools are for sale now, what's left? There's no green... You're talking about saving the environment. We're not saving any environment at all.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Mrs. Marchensky, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Doreen Riddler, registered in opposition?
Yes.
Okay, did you wish to speak, Mrs. Riddler?
I can ask a question.
Please come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Hi, welcome.
I don't live exactly in the area. I'm Doreen Riddler of 1035 Talbot.
Okay, thank you.
This has nothing to do with the Habitat. Was there any consideration of maybe building a 55-plus complex in that area? We don't have anything for seniors at all.
Okay.
And that's my...
Well, that's a question that hopefully Habitat could address when they come back, because they're the owners of the property, so...
Because we don't have anything for 55 over anywhere in our area.
Okay.
And it'd be interesting.
Okay. I appreciate it. Any questions of Ms. Riddler?
No.
No, I was just asking the other councillors. No, that's all right. Thank you very much, Mrs. Riddler. Thank you. Anybody else registered in opposition that hasn't spoken that I don't have a little form filled out for? Anybody else registered in opposition? Seeing none. Anybody here? I have a few people registered for information. Barb Heinrichs, registered for information. You just wish to be registered for information? Okay. No questions to ask? Okay. Thanks very much. Also registered for information, Helena and Joe Gospodin, registered for information. Do you have some questions? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Joe Gospodin, 938 McCallman.
Welcome.
No problem with Habitat coming in. My problem is sewers on that street are never done, ever. If somebody comes out and fixes my sewer, I'm screwed for a week. We're going to put 35 homes in my neighborhood. What's happening? You guys answer, not them, because it's your job. Let's go. Let's have something.
Okay, so your question is regarding this.
What are we going to do with the sewers? I got 15 homes coming in 11 spots, which is right, by the way.
Okay.
Something's going to happen. It ain't right. It ain't going to work. They can't fix it now.
I have
some
questions.
We got a new one coming.
With regard to that.
Okay. Councillor Thomas has... Did you have anything else you wanted to add at this point? Okay.
I'm really interested in the sewer issue because I don't remember getting a call from anybody in that area, so it would be helpful to tell me how many times have they come out to fix these?
Oh, it's just for maintenance. They come out for maintenance. It's screwed for a week.
So when they come out for maintenance...
Ain't been done in 50 years.
So when they come out for maintenance, then what happens? You can't use your sewer?
Well, you end up with bad water for a week.
How often has this happened?
Every other year they come out and...
Three times in about the last 5 years.
Yeah. Every other year when they come out to do maintenance. Now we're going to push...
The gentleman on the corner.
15 houses.
Order, please. There's one person here in delegation.
Yeah. We're going to put 15 houses in 11 spots.
Very important.
And it is 11 spots. And I don't understand how you do that.
Okay.
And I've been there 50 years. I know the sewers haven't been done.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Just one question. Are you talking sewers or are you talking water? Because you said
I'm talking sewers.
Okay, so.
When they maintain the sewers, they come in front of my, it's in front of my house. I know it's coming. We shut down for a couple of days. We just get water.
You get?
We know what's coming. It just comes brown for... Once they plunge the sewer, or whatever.
Comes around from where?
Back up, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Into your basement? Is that what you're moving?
Through the taps.
Oh, through the taps.
Right back through the taps.
Okay, so this is the water you're talking, the city water.
No, it's coming up through the toilet, basically. And
I see.
It's running through everything.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Joe. Did you have anything else at this point?
That'll
okay.
Work for
okay.
Me.
We'll ask the questions of the administration. Helena, did you have a question? You had your hand up there. This is your chance to ask. You need to come forward if you could.
When they worked on Nairn Avenue, when they were doing that reconstruction of the whole street, every time they touched that corner, then our sewers would go. And we'd have brown water. And any time they've ever had to fix a light or anything that they go in there, they do something to the system, and then they phone us and say we've got water problems down in our area. So, and Dale was, as Dale was saying, somebody exploded in there.
The gentleman at the very corner of Chester and had this sewer break behind his house and flooded his basement.
No, that was behind our house.
Okay. Order. But anyway, you were, okay. So the issue is water. It's not sewer. Is the sewage going out or the water coming in? It sounds like it's the water coming into your house that's discolored.
It comes through the toilet and then...
Right, so that's water. That's water. That's not sewer. It's when you flush the toilet and it goes out, that's the sewer. But you're talking about water coming into your house. This is your water supply that you're talking about. Well, no, but that's your water supply. That's your water supply. So, okay, just to clarify.
Yeah.
Okay,
no. Yeah,
so your water supply. It's not your sewer.
My concern is the young children in the area.
Okay.
The fact that, we've already talked about the fact that it's, there's going to be a lot of children. Where are they going to go to school? Is my understanding that the Kent Road itself is full. When it comes to people that are low income, like a lot of the people in that area, they have the, usually both parents, if there's two parents, are working, which means they need either a before or after school day program. And in that area, when my niece lived with me, there was no place. She had to go blocks and blocks to find anybody that would take her child, because she had to leave him early and then pick him up late, like, because she didn't finish work and get home until 5:45. So what do you do with small children like that if you've got both parents working and we have no daycares in that area? I mean, they're all full and they have long waiting lists. And that's a big issue. So do you have parents then staying home, or do you have older children looking after younger ones and not going to school? You know, what does that say? And we do need play areas for the children. Mm-hmm. You know, Nairn is an extremely busy street. I would rather see Habitat for Humanity do a smaller project and do 11 and 11. It would fit in with our community. It would be a little bit more peaceful. And, I mean, as the communities grow, ours is going to change, too. I mean, people are getting older. They're going to move out. Younger families are going to move in. Those are the type of starter houses that they are in that area. And it will be nice to see younger children, but we need some. 35 families is an awful lot of families to squeeze into a little tiny schoolyard, if you've seen the schoolyard. And we're concerned with that.
Okay. You're registered for information. Are you in for information or more on opposition, I guess?
I'm not opposed to Habitat for Humanity. I think the idea is great. I'm opposed to the number of units they're trying to squash onto that little tiny area.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions at this point? No? Okay. Well, thank you for coming forward, Lena. Thank you. Silvana Pesante Catafio?
Just information.
For information? Okay, thank you very much. Anybody else registered for information that I haven't read? Anybody else registered for information that I haven't read out or wishing to speak in information or questions? No? I'll call back the applicant, Mr. Sandy Hopkins. If you could, you've heard some of the issues. If you could address them, Mr. Hopkins, with any new information you may have. Or
thank you for the opportunity to do that. Our very first proposal to the school division, imagine dividing the property in essentially into three. The school itself, we had thought, would become a daycare, early childhood education center. And then we wanted to split the remaining land and build houses on half and actually create 55-plus homes, condos, on the other part of the land. We're neither in the daycare business nor in the seniors condo business. In fact, our charitable license wouldn't allow us to do either of those things. And so what we wanted to do were find partners who would be able to develop those types of projects. We did find a partner on the daycare side, but as I mentioned earlier, ultimately the funding for that collapsed a short while ago. When we went to the development community with the idea of creating seniors affordable condos, we couldn't find a developer who was willing to take the project on. And I think I would attribute that to the level of activity taking place in the construction industry today, that there are just higher margin opportunities for those types of builders. And so we put out an RFP. We had a real estate agent talk to a number of different developers to see if we could find anyone who was interested in doing a seniors condo complex on part of that land. And when that faltered, we went back to the school division and the school board and the public schools finance board and said, we can't go forward with our original proposal. We can't find anybody to do the seniors. And so we would suggest now that the best use of that land is for affordable housing for all of the vacant land, and they agreed with that. And so that's how we ended up with the proposal that is before you today. But certainly the place we started was to have Habitat Homes, daycare center, and seniors condos on that property. I would also like to point out that all of the Habitat families are hardworking, low-income families who will pay for these houses in their entirety. The houses are not being given to anyone. They will earn them and pay for them exactly the same as everyone else in the neighborhood has. And I would further point out that the our proposal in terms of the number and types of housing is both consistent with Plan Winnipeg and with the direction of City Council for the last number of years regarding increased density in the central parts of the city. Each of the homes will have two parking pads built at the rear of the property. And I would point out that not many of our Habitat owners, homeowners at this point in their lives have cars. So we don't see parking as being quite the issue that has been portrayed to be, because there will be parking pads there. The lot sizes will allow for a reasonable sized yard in each of for each of those homes. So there will be places at home for those children to play and with each other in the yards for the homes. I would also point out the Winnipeg School Division has said to us that they are always pleased when they see Habitat building homes in their area, because the children that come from the Habitat homes are coming from stable environments. And that they're good additions to the schools in the area. A question was raised about how long Habitat families need to be in their houses and how quickly they might flip them, for example. The contract that we sign with the homeowners requires them to be in the home for a minimum of 10 years. Now, circumstances occasionally require that a family must move before that 10 years is up. And if that's the case, then we have a buyback clause in the mortgage agreement with them. We're the mortgage holder on those properties. And we buy the property back from the homeowner and put another Habitat family in the house so that it stays as an affordable home. And I would also point out that the lots that we're proposing are 31 feet on the McCalman side, and the lots on the rest of McCalman range over a significant size, from as small as 25 feet to as large as 45 feet. Most of them are seen to be in that 37.5 foot range, but certainly there are some 40s and some 45s as well. Concern was raised about the diagram showing all of the houses being the same color. As mentioned, there will be various styles of houses, various elevations within each of the styles, and various colors as well. We have no interest in having just one type of house or one color. I would dare say that proposal, should it go forward, will be less of a cookie cutter approach than you would see in many of the subdivisions that are being built by the for-profit builders in different parts of the city, where the homes are quite similar one to the next. We will have a significant variety of colors and sizes with these homes. I think that addressed all of the issues that arose, but if I missed any, I'd be happy to address them now.
Okay. I'll just see if there's any questions right now. Any questions, Councilman?
Yes.
Mr. Thomas?
Yeah. Okay, you answered the where they will play and what parking would be available and how long before they can sell them. But they want to know where the kids will go to school. Have you done any studying of Kent Road to see? I don't know what the capacity is of Kent Road. Do you know?
No, I don't.
Whether there's room for 30 kids from kindergarten to six?
I don't specifically know that, but I can tell you that the Winnipeg School Division and the Public Schools Finance Board are aware of this proposal.
Okay. Now, also the before and after school childcare, that was one of the aspects of it that I had thought you have it remaining PR. You've got no one that's going to turn the old school into a childcare now?
No, the provincial funding that was hoped for to do the necessary renovations in that building to create a daycare is not available. I know nothing more.
We've got
that.
One of the, that I think is probably the most frustrating thing, because with all the childcare spaces that they have through the city, I read two reports put out by the Manitoba Child Care Association that says that we've got the lowest number of child care spaces in the Elmwood, East Kildonan area. And I just had a proposal rejected in a church in the area because they said they didn't want to put child cares in churches anymore, and I just heard the Minister of Education say how they would prefer to have the kids attached to a school. So it's pretty frustrating if the money's not there for developing a school site, because you have the classrooms are right there. It's been well used. There's a gymnasium even there.
There is.
So
it would have been an ideal use for the building. No doubt about it.
Okay. That makes me pretty angry, but the frustrating thing about this is that most of the concerns that people have with regard to the sewer system, with regard to the child care, with regard to finding places for the kids in the school are beyond your control as a developer. And those are things that I'm going to have to try and
we've asked a member of our staff to come forward, Councillor.
See what I can do about that.
Yeah, okay.
Water supply, sewers, what can we do about that in this area? Because having people come out every 2 years and having people not be without water for 2 days while they work on the system over and over again. What can we do about that?
I'm afraid I don't really know the circumstances under which it sounds as if the water main has been turned off a number of times, right? And then when it's turned back on again, you often get...
It's old.
It's old, and so you'll get dirty water for a while.
Order, please. Order.
It would depend whether it had been turned off because of leaks or because of construction in the area.
I don't know the answer to that.
The application was reviewed by the administrative coordinating group, which involved engineers from water and waste and from Public Works, as well as the land development engineer. And there was no issue arising about regarding capacity for the sewer, for the land drainage, or for water supply.
Sandy, the question that I have that you might be able to do something about, I noticed that the average property is 33 widths. If you had 14 single family facing the McCalmon side and gave each each property an additional 2 feet. Would you be able to manage that if I was to do something like that? Because I just divided 33 by 14 and I came up with 2.5 feet if we could do that.
We can do anything that the city directs us to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just point out that the fewer homes that are built there means two things. That each home that is not built means a family doesn't get a home, and it means that the homes that are there are more expensive. So we will take whatever direction you provide to us.
Mm-hmm.
We will build as many or as few as you would like, but those are the consequences.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that, and it makes it more difficult for the families who are moving in. What's the depth of the properties that you're looking at in each area?
They're 109, 107.
So they're a little bigger. The standard is I think 100 now, and they're a little longer than.
And that includes the back lane going to be going across to divide that property.
Is it possible to see the other map you have there?
Sure.
You have the puts in perspective a little better for us. Just, might help the counselor.
Mm-hmm. I'm not as concerned about the homes that are facing Nairn because there's commercial property across the street from them, so it's not a matter of looking at them and saying, well, these homes are incredibly small compared to the other because it's across from commercial property. But I would like to see one less home in there so that they have a little bit bigger lots on the other side. And it would have been nice to have someone who was willing to do a 55 plus, because we've got the largest population of seniors in the city, and if they move out of their homes and into a 55 plus, there will be reasonably priced nice, well-maintained accommodations for people to move into the area, and then we won't have the frustration that I've had seeing friends move to St. Vitale because they can't find a 55 plus home in the area, and coming back and volunteering and participating in Good Neighbors and in the Elmwood East Kildonan Seniors Group and in the Legion, but now not living in the area because we haven't been able to accommodate them. But I don't know what you can do about that problem.
We certainly believe that the original plan we had was a great community building proposal, which would have seen seniors, daycare, and homes built on the land. But unfortunately, the two pieces that we could not control have disappeared. That being said, if the proposal for the school now, should it come
so what's pass? Happening in that area that is this remain within the school division's purview, this other area here that
the green space at the front of the school?
Have you acquired the entire property?
Yes, the entire property.
What's happening to this area now that you're not able to get a child care in there?
Well, we're in negotiation with a group that wish to convert the school to training for newly arrived immigrants.
Oh, so it'll be a school.
Yes.
It just won't be a childcare.
Yeah.
So.
Now, again, it's not a done deal. We're in discussion with them. They have to get their financing package together, and we're hopeful that they're successful because we think that would be a good use for the, mm-hmm. the facility as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that does include the big piece of green space to the left. That's the grass in front of the school building.
I noticed that this is parking lot.
That's parking lot, yes.
Yeah, will that be turned?
No, that goes with the school.
That goes with the school.
Yeah. So there's a parking in the parking lot in the back. Yeah, the parking lot in the back, the school building itself, and then all of the green space in the front.
This is green space right now.
Yeah.
The problem with encouraging a play structure or something in this area is that these people won't be able to see their kids. They'll be bored.
Yeah. I understand, but that's the piece that we're selling off.
Yeah, because it's lovely. It's a lovely place to play. And I'm sure the people on this side really appreciate that as nice green space for their kids. But it wouldn't be, they have fairly big backyards, it wouldn't be very helpful to have, it would be quite helpful to have a play structure in this area. If we're able to do something about that. But that's out of your hands, too.
Okay.
No, we can't allow for any other delegations at this point. This is, we've heard both sides. Councillor Bawadi, or Councillor Thomas, do you have more questions, or can I?
No, I'm not. I'm mulling right
You're
now.
Mulling?
So,
okay.
So go ahead. Go on to someone else.
You're okay. Just on the school site, in the event that you do not acquire the immigrant, or let's say you do have that. Do you require, because right now the school site, all of the school site, that L shape, is PR2.
Yes.
So even if the immigrant's training facility were to come forward, they would have to file as well for rezoning.
I understood that use would fall within the current zoning because it's a school.
Let's ask for a clarification here.
No, I don't believe it would.
While he's looking, my question is, I guess, in terms...
We have our legal counsel here who has a point of view on the matter, if you'd like to hear that.
Okay. I guess where I'm going with this, Sandy, is the issue with regards to the future of the school. Would the future school site or the school building, would you require the entire school site? Or are you trying to market the entire school site?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going down the same path Councilor Thomas was going down, and that is, you have parking lot space that's right now colored green, which is not really green. And,
yes.
And I guess from hearing from the residents on the play areas issues, what sort of... ability is there to because you're going to be selling homes, or involving young families who have children. Councillor Thomas knows the area better than I do with regards to where the parks are and playgrounds are, and whether there's a need here or not. So I guess my question is on the PR2 site, do you see any opportunity maybe to do something with regards to accommodating green space?
Well, it would require a complete rethink of the plan. We understand that, if I may... that the area here and here is the minimum allowable amount that we must sell with the school.
That
this distance from the house here to this school, school, and similarly from the lane here to the school, that these are the minimum amounts that we must include with the school package to sell. So we're not allowed to have anything closer to these buildings than the portrayed on this diagram. So if we were to try to do something in here, I have no sense of what that means from a zoning perspective, but I expect it's a fairly high hill to climb. Because you understand this must go with the school building. That's the minimum allowable amount.
No, well, that's a variance issue.
Yeah.
With regards to different.
If it's possible to, you know, take a piece of this and create a playground there, if the people who are thinking of buying the school would be available to that, we'd be delighted at trying to make that happen. And I'm sure we'd find some financial supporters in the community who would pay to have the structures built. We've had that offer from organizations from time to time.
Yeah. I guess that's a question we could ask the planner on the variance with regards to varying for a schoolyard or a school building, because I'm not too sure either. So, anyway.
It would depend on what the end zoning. Right now, elementary or junior high school, senior high schools are permitted uses in that district, but your description sounds like it would be probably a social service facility, which is not permitted in the PR district.
Social service?
It would. I would say it would either be. We don't have something like training for new immigrants, or the closest we would have is a commercial school or a social service facility.
But it was previously for a university.
Adult education.
Manitoba School of Social Work was in there, so.
Under the old bylaw, we have a new bylaw now.
Oh,
that building's been vacant
okay.
for over a year.
Yeah.
So it's lost any kind of non-conforming rights.
Okay.
So under the new bylaw, under this district, elementary or junior high school is clearly defined as kids of that age in school, and senior high school is clearly defined as kids for high school age. A commercial school is not permitted, and a social service facility is not either. There's no such a, we don't have a category for university outreach program or anything like that. So that's why.
And you don't have a category for post-secondary?
We have for college or universities. But that's, once again, accredited college or
accredited,
university.
I see.
Not like a school for, a trade school we would call a commercial school, like for carpenters or something, or welders, or Red River University of Manitoba. So from what they're describing, I would say it's more of a social service facility.
Oh.
Well, that might be an issue that we have. I can certainly bring up with the manager of regulatory reform in terms of the zoning bylaw, in terms of what rights they used to have underneath the old bylaw and what ones they have under the new one.
Putting that issue aside, then.
We're not talking about rezoning this property right now, and you can make your application. We'll do a thorough zoning analysis at that time and let you know whether you need a public hearing or not. I think the application tonight is with the houses. If you do anything in the school, you're likely to require some sort of maybe public hearing. It's also a historical building, so it's listed for any kind of modification to the building. You need a certificate of appropriateness, but we're not dealing with the school site tonight.
Okay. Well, and speaking to the question that I asked before, John, what sort of variance is required, if any, with regards to proximity or what setbacks for school or institution?
For school, there is a backyard setback for schools.
I guess that's what Sandy was getting at, is a backyard setback.
The rear yard for a school is 25 feet minimum rear yard.
So that's probably about the 25 feet you're talking about.
It is.
Okay. So that would have to be varied, which is an option.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm presenting this, I don't know, this is, again, the issue of park in the back. If there was access from McKelman south, you could create a half-decent-sized play area where the parking lot is right now, kind of running length down to access as a walkway, if you follow me, and then kind of a play area in the back, the size of at least one of those larger lots on Naren Avenue, kind of running lengthwise, though. Is that, I don't know, I just...
We'd be pleased to undertake that if that was in the art of the possible.
I'm not quite sure what you're saying.
Can I get up and show you?
Yes, that would be helpful.
I'm saying the residents said you can have
you can have a walkway here,
and then you set aside a chunk of land like this, because vary the setback, right, that John referred to, vary the setback, you could have a chunk of land set aside here and have that converted into park space, potentially.
That's what I, that's, you understood, that's what I was getting at, Sandy? Okay.
Yep.
So...
If that was possible, we...
Yeah.
We'd certainly support that.
What I'll need is you to take that and turn it into a thought that can be written down, because I like that idea. It's just a matter of doing that. The other...
Excuse me, if I may, you're also limiting distance issues with the existing building. Property line close to it, so it's not just a setback, but there are building code issues with.
Well, the other thing that I was thinking of with regard to here is taking the end lot here that's closest to the school, and instead of making what I was saying make their lots a little bit bigger, turn that end lot. Still have 14 lots, keep them the same size, but turn that end lot into a green space with a playground structure on it.
Councillor, you can take percentage of the land for as land dedication instead of cash in lieu. They're required to pay cash in lieu of land dedication. You can actually take land then as dedication.
Instead of money, I could do that?
You could take land instead of money. They're required to pay land dedication, cash in lieu of land dedication. You can take land instead of cash.
And chances are, we'd have to ask the question, but chances are that would be less than 10%.
Yeah,
so you would still have cash in lieu coming forward, but you'd have less of it. That would be a question I'd ask of you.
And then that way, how would that affect your economics then? Because you wouldn't be paying as much.
Well, the cash in lieu compared to the value of a house for a family is fairly small. It's we are always concerned with cash flow, but we're far more concerned with getting families into housing. And as I said a moment ago, if the only way to get this proposal approved and through is to take a lot and turn it into a playground area, then they were prepared to do that. The consequence is that one less family gets a home, and the others who are there will pay more, because the cost of the land is the cost of the land, the cost of development is the cost of development. You're dividing by a smaller number. So it does increase marginally the overall cost for the homes.
Yeah.
I don't have any other questions, Councillor, so
yeah.
I'll turn it back to you. So,
oh.
I'm looking
for the wisdom of Solomon now.
I lied. Isn't there a back lane now accessed out onto Naren Avenue?
Yeah. But
where's the back lane now?
There's a lane that runs this way right through.
Okay.
And then there's, of course, an east-west lane.
Right.
And so what we're proposing is to extend the east-west lane right across the property and then have an empty back out into McAlvin.
Okay.
And then we've understood that if that happens, the city might close this piece and keep the McAllen side open, but we have seen nothing.
So can I ask you? All right, that's interesting then. Can I ask you why is the just 1 second? The back lane would be extended. That's understandable down McAllen, and then punched through up to McAllen.
Right,
but I guess the other section over here, why do you need another back lane running to McAllen over on the right-hand side?
We don't need it. It's there now.
Oh, it's there now?
Yeah. We don't need it. It's already there.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. It's there now. Right. That makes sense. Okay.
And that's outside of the boundary of the property we purchased.
Oh, that's outside the boundary.
Yeah.
Okay. And isn't there a, is there not an entrance into the, or maybe there's not, I guess, onto Naren Avenue on the other side there, at the other end?
From that lane?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Currently, the lane runs from McCallman to Naren.
I'm talking on that end, yeah.
No.
There, yes.
There is a cut in the street.
Yeah, I thought there was a cut in the street.
There's a cut.
I drive it every day, so.
But it's fenced off, so you can't actually drive onto the property. We haven't investigated what that means, but there is a cut in the street. The curb is there, absolutely, but it's fenced off, so you can't drive onto the property from Naren. And with this configuration, piece where the curb is cut would be sold with the school property because it is literally right at the end of the school building. So that cut in the curb is right there.
Oh, I see. It's right there. Okay.
Yeah. But as far as I know, it's never been an access.
There was garbage there.
Order, please.
Okay.
So.
Counselor, I think it was for garbage. I don't live in the area. I just heard from someone.
I guess taking this further here, Sandy, could you not, instead of the back lane going north to McCallum, could you not have the back lane running south to Naren and not have that back lane?
I don't want to against my
house. No. You're.
Pardon me, so we said instead of this,
No, you have to have a lane out. I'm saying, no, the other end.
The west end.
The west end, heading
west
to Naren.
West end next to the duplex.
Here.
There. Right there, yes. Yes.
Right there?
Yes.
We're amenable for that. We understood in conversations with the city that they were not favorable to a lane onto
Naren. You don't want to put a lane onto Naren access there.
That's the reason.
Well, I guess where I'm going with this, Councillor, I'm trying to think of if you got rid of the other lane and then you had one extra lot, you then have a sizable park.
Yeah.
Right? That's where I'm going with that lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, but yeah. I don't.
Okay.
We don't. We have enough problems with traffic on Naren without having a back lane access.
That's why Public Works wants to get rid of that other, that one there. But we can roll it into this application. It would be a separate application. And I think there's some pipes in the ground, so we'd keep it with an easement agreement across it, but we were looking to close it off.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we can have placed ground structure there.
Well, you probably, that one Public Works wants to close off. I can't recall about the one connecting back to McCollum. I think that one probably could be closed off as well. I'm not sure why that would be needed, that one there.
Because you'd have too long of a, it would be
too long
a very long cul-de-sac. You do need one of those halves.
Okay.
Well, in the streets in the area, there isn't in the middle of the block, there isn't a...
Yeah, the next street block over has it just straight through.
Yeah, it's a straight through, and the block is just as long. So.
Councillor, do you want to take a 10-minute break? No?
No.
Okay.
No. I think I've decided what I'm going to do. Okay. Thank you. I'll move the reports of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.